Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And no surprise, I'm hanging out with awesomely cool people. So let's see who these awesomely cool people
And
are.
us.
It's always in the eye of the beholder. It's a very subjective thing. So in the eye of this beholder, I'm hanging out with incredibly awesome people. So we'll take it. Ian, how are you?
Me? I'm fantastic, thank you. Good, good. I've
Awesome.
got back. Last week I was tech conference. That was madness, frankly. Great fun, but madness. So that's all done in the bag. Everybody was had a great time and said how good it was. Prague is a wonderful city and I have to go back again. It's just one of my favorite. I think it has to be in my top five cities in the world of places I've been, of interesting, nice, friendly people. It's really, really good. So yeah, I like Prague. So
which means
got
you've
an
been to
office.
Vienna.
Not yet.
Because you said nice people. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's not
We're
Vienna,
out.
No, Germany.
We're out.
Yeah, I haven't been yet, but I probably will at some point. And you know what I mean? It's my next trip's Vegas.
Oh boy.
Don't lost wages.
Boring.
What time
it
of
works
year?
Paying for it. I don't care. January.
Okay. That's the
that's
time
good.
To go to Vegas because you're less
yep,
likely
time.
To have deathly oppressive heat.
Yeah, I'm planning to hire a car and drive out into desert things just to look and come back again.
Oh yeah. You should,
we'd have
because
time.
Yeah, sure. It's just
the
super boring
area
to drive.
Outside
But
Vegas is
yes.
Yeah. Hundreds of miles just there in a straight line.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I need
Pretty
to do
much.
It's one of those things I need to do. Myself and my colleague are thinking about doing some. He did something before. He said, I know a few places to go. So I think he'd probably get quite happy to go again. So we might do some shares on a hire car and go and have a look at some stuff before the madness begins for our next, well, that's our sales event. But otherwise, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So yeah.
Awesome. All right. I have a fun thing for you to check out while you're there that for some reason a lot of people just miss. The Neon Museum.
I was thinking drive over to Jeff's and like have breakfast with him.
Oh yeah, totally do that.
Yeah.
Or a party, dinner, drinks, something like that.
Well, if you're gonna drive over, we'll do all of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
I
Neon
might
Museum.
make,
I've heard of that. Yeah, but
it's really cool. Part of it's indoors. Yeah, but most of it's outdoors because of the size of the neon
Neon signs.
pieces that they've recovered.
Well, that sounds interesting. I might have to look at that.
Yeah, it's like the signs from like a lot of casinos and other places in the area.
Cool. I'll look
I don't
into
remember. I think it was Anthony Bourdain who went there when he was in Vegas.
Oh, cool.
Where in Vegas is that, Jeff?
It's crap. What are directions? Okay.
What hotel is it by?
It's not
some
on
planet
Earth.
Hotel,
Actually,
United
leave the
States.
strip.
Make Nevada.
Oh, it's off the strip.
So, in my mind, it's west of town, but
I
I
think
don't
you're
think
right.
that's actually right because the way
No,
the
I think
mountains
you're right.
sit, there, I have no idea what direction is north.
So you do
the other
you
thing.
do directions in Vegas outside of Vegas. You say the last hotel I saw was
the place I'd
Mandalay,
last coyote I
Mandalay
saw.
Bay.
No,
now,
the last coyote I saw was.
Now, if I want to go and see Penn and Teller, do I need to plan ahead?
Yes.
Because that's one thing I would
so.
like to see is plan and
Yes.
is Penn and Teller. If they're
You
still
definitely
there,
do. It
I
should
should have
be.
a Google. I should have a Google then, because that's something I would like to sneak off one evening and go and do.
Oh, yeah. Do something fun, because
There's no
otherwise
what
it's
else.
just a grungy city.
I'm just going
Yes.
to another
A lot
hotel
of
in another
gambling.
country. That, yeah, I'm just
I
going to
mean,
another
even
big
in the
hotel in
airport,
another
like
country.
that's the crazy thing. Like even in the airport, there's gambling happening. Super crazy.
And that sort of just goes straight over here for me. I just don't have any connection with any of it. It really
Same.
Is even horse racing
best.
Here, even things.
Yeah.
I have
That's why I'm saying it's super boring
zero
there.
interest. But I will
It's not my
probably just
thing.
end up. It's America, so it's always a bit of a novelty for me. You've got to remember, as a
That makes
European,
sense.
it's always a bit of a novelty.
Yeah. No, as I said, the right thing to do is you like you stay in the airport, you see the little bit of gambling that's happening there, and say, okay, seen it. And then you take the next flight over to Denver and you visit Jeff.
I'll sneak away.
I love this plan. I'll even pick
I mean, that's
you
what
up
I usually actually didn't go to Denver. Usually I went to Arizona, but it's what you usually did.
Yeah. All right. Well, have fun in Vegas. And since it's January, the heat probably
it will be
won't
nice.
Kill you.
Excellent.
No, it won't kill probably. You. And it's actually coming from the UK. It's going to be really nice because you're basically it's winter. It's cold. It's rainy. Well, that's most of the year, but especially in the winter. And
no,
so it's
I can cope with it being warmer when we've come out of wet and miserable, maybe snowy even weather. Yeah, I can cope with that.
Yeah, and it's kind of it feels like the 2 weeks of summer you get in UK. It kind of feels like
fantastic.
That.
Yeah, we've actually just had those. It's gone cold now here and everything. I mean, look, I'm back in jumpers again. I'm back in jumpers
same.
Again.
We had like earlier in the week we had like 34 degrees, and I think today, so 34 Celsius, so about 89, 90, something like that. And today it's I think like 13 or 14. So 20 degree difference in like a couple of days. It's actually supposed to snow in the next couple of days here. It's like in Austria at least, not in Vienna probably, but in Austria.
Prague was in the 30s when we were there, and it was all the way through that week. Not that I saw much of it. I saw mostly inside hotels.
Yeah, it was really hot. And then within like 2 days or so, it just dropped down.
But now I'm home and it's 11. It's 11 degrees.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I don't know if that is in Fahrenheit for old people, but...
It's about 50.
Yeah.
Well, it's one more than 10, so you got
It's exactly 50. 50 degrees Fahrenheit is about 10 degrees Celsius. Why do I know that? Because that's literally what it is here.
Right now it's 29 here, so that's about 85 Fahrenheit.
Ish. Yeah, something like that.
That sounds
83,
civilized.
85, something like that.
Yeah, I could do with some of that. That sounds vaguely civilized.
It's not as civilized as you think.
No. I mean, I was in Lisbon 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I think. Week ago, 2 weeks ago. See, I don't even remember. It's been, I think, 2 weeks. And here in Vienna, it was like 33, 35, 37 degrees, like really hot and humid. And in Lisbon, it was so cold and I needed like a jacket and like it was like barely 20 degrees. So you would think like Portugal, hot in the summer. Nope. Wasn't.
Well, I could
people
live
were,
that.
Yeah, people they were saying, "Are you going to like this? It's probably going to be like really cool and really hot in summer." And when I'm like, "And it's kind of cold at night."
I can live with that.
Yeah, me too. I was quite happy. It was not so humid, so that makes a big difference.
So Patrice, we've done this natural migration from talking with you, Ian, to talking with you. So I feel like I should ask at some point, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm sniffling a little bit. I don't know. I think the weather change, something happened. A little bit of, I don't know if it's a cold or whatever it is. It's not COVID, that I would know. It's just, I'm not 100%. I'm not feeling bad. I'm not feeling sick. It's just not feeling 100. So there's that. But other than that, I have this week off mostly. I have a meeting tomorrow. So I had actually one meeting today for preparation for tomorrow, but like half an hour with my boss. I'm like, hey, whatever.
It's
I can do that for
so
my sofa.
American.
And yeah, well, yes. And I mean, yes. But I also had agreed to do it, so it's fine. We have a meeting with our upper echelon tomorrow, like our founder, our CEO. I don't know who else is there, like bunch of bigwigs. And it's kind of important. So I was like, and he was like, okay, I could move it. And I'm like, given the people there, it's going to be a nightmare to move that. And I'm like, I can be there. It's anyway raining, so it's not as if I'm doing anything important. I can do an hour of meeting and like half an hour before. It's all fine. So I'll do that tomorrow. And I said, we did half an hour today real quick just to see what he's prepared and what he wants to talk about and soon got that. So, no, good.
This is the price you pay for being so important.
Yes. I wanted to say something like I'm not that important, but I guess I'm important enough that sometimes you have to do stuff like that. Yeah, no, but it's been a good week. I went to a podcast festival on the weekend, and that was really cool.
That's
Like
awesome.
in Vienna, it was very Austrian. It was super Austrian.
Lighthouse.
A lot of politics. No. It's just the people and the mindset, and like a lot of politics because there's an election in, I think, about 2 weeks. 29th, yeah, should be about 2 weeks. And yeah, it was very Austrian and not a lot of such events. I'm always looking for like, hey, to like get to meet people, network, whatever, and that's absolutely not what happens. People do not want to talk to strangers. So
That
it's
kind of
forget
defeats part of the purpose of
at
the
a
conference.
conference, they don't want to
At
speak to
it's not a,
strangers.
yeah, it's just very Austrian. So I found the four kind of internationals. I think two of them were even Austrian, but they've been other places and are kind of more open-minded, I'll call it. I mean, one lady, she used to live in Hong Kong. That was quite fun.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I found the four cool people out of, I don't know, 50 or 100 or however many were there. It was overall, it was a bit of a letdown, but it was still fun. I still enjoyed doing it. So, okay. Like
Okay, well, at least you had
there
fun.
were podcasts like 25 minutes on stage, and there were literally people with like a piece of paper sitting there and reading it. And I'm like, really? That's what you're doing. You have an entire audience. You have a stage here, and you're not doing anything with that. I'm like, they should have had me on.
They should
I
have
would have
had
done
you on.
Retro Rewatch with Steph or something like that.
Yeah,
Or
see, that would
Foodie
have been
Flashback,
fun.
interview someone like live on stage with the audience together. Something like
Yeah,
that.
a scripted podcast live is not that exciting.
No. And there were some that were doing it really well, and there were some that were kind of didn't know what to do. So they're big. I mean, they were for Austria, I supposedly, I guess, bigger names. But I mean, I've never heard of them, but I'm honestly not paying attention to the local podcast scene here because I'm like, they're very, very local. So,
It wasn't us on stage, so
yeah, it's kind of
yeah.
yeah. But we had a good conversation after. There was one guy who runs a kind of a, like a mid-roll type company. So like, they do like spot they create podcasts for other companies that want to do like I don't know. They have a product and they want to do like a behind the scene podcast or something like paid advertisement almost. They also have like one or two. They sell ads basically across their network, and they have also a couple of their own podcasts, and that was quite interesting. Didn't even know that existed in Austria, so that was cool. And then there were two guys like that I got the tickets from. One is Austrian and one is Australian. They were really fun, so I talked to them for a couple hours, and the lady from Hong Kong, basically. So that's
Awesome.
fun. Got some free wine, so can't complain because they got free drinks and they gave me one.
This conference keeps sounding better and better.
It was ultimately. I almost fell asleep in the afternoon. I was like, oh, this is so boring. But I knew that I had to wait till the end because they, of course, put the kind of multilingual podcast they put in the end because the two guys, they're doing kind of a German English mix. So of course, all the Austrian podcasts have to come first, and then for the three people that stay, that they're okay with hearing English, that's the end. So again, as I said, Austria.
That's funny.
Yeah. So there was that. But as I said, I've almost fell asleep somewhere. So, but the good on the good side and the plus side, I have stickers and I did some guerrilla marketing and put them in places that are not supposed to go. I was
That is
like, wait,
fantastic.
you're supposed to put stickers here? Yes.
Then, yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, and I have a really cool mug that I made.
Yeah,
I like
I'm gonna
showing
have to do
that.
one of those too.
Yeah, I think we'll do something about that.
Yeah, we will.
So either way, the different show.
All right. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Wait, we're still doing the introduction. Sorry.
I'm doing great. Let's do a show.
All right. Then in that case, who has the first story?
No, how's the weather in California? That's what I want to know.
It's too nice. I don't want to brag, so I'll just say it's nice.
It's too nice. I can tell you how it is in Southern California. It's on fire. How do I know? Yeah. I've got their
but
smoke.
Literally, not metaphorically.
Literally. Yeah, and to tie it into Ian, there's a big fire in Nevada, and the smoke from that's going to hit us this afternoon.
See, we should the weather should get together. We have too much water in like UK and also in Austria right now, and we have not enough in California and in Nevada. So just let's do a little bit less here and a little bit more there, and then we don't have fires. How does that sound?
I love this plan.
Like, just average it out.
Sure, I'm sure it would work perfectly.
Oh yeah, it's yeah. What I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
We go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, everything. We know that.
Well, Ian, you're dropping links in the live chat, so yeah. Looks like it's you that gets to go first.
I do.
Tell us about your linked stories.
They're both linked because it's all to do with the EU Commission. This week, two of the largest tech companies have both been landed with either fines or court cases landed against them that mean they're going to pay out big money. So Google today have just, what was it, yesterday the 10th, they need to pay £2 billion. That's 2.4 billion euros. That's a lot of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all things to do with ad. It came from a British firm, in fact. And it's all again about their discriminatory and their kind of like dominating markets again. And they're being taken to court again. They were squeezing all the other rivals out of their markets and said, no, but Google's a monopolized price comparison. In this case, online price comparison sites was the particular one for this one. Decision's been upheld. They're going to pay loads of money out. And the other one is Apple. Our friends from the fruity themed toy maker, they've been caught with an $14 billion tax bill from the Irish government. I know we don't do Apple here, but they're kind of linked. It's all EU sort of saying
it
that
was announced at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all linked in the same way that we're looking at. It's the European Court of Justice looking at big monopoly IT companies and going, you know, and this isn't good for the market to completely subsume everybody else to exploit, or in this case, try and find ways of avoiding paying taxes in the country you're resident as a business, in which case the Irish government, because they weren't that one's tax, isn't it?
The companies would probably argue they didn't avoid paying taxes, they paid exactly what they were asked to pay. But the EU actually decided that it was kind of a government subsidy.
Yeah.
So it's not about that they avoided paying taxes. Instead, they paid exactly what they were asked to. But what they were asked to wasn't actually a lot. It was barely anything.
Yeah, but the government in Ireland and places like Dublin set up those laws to attract the companies.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And they kept arguing.
Have been there for years.
Yeah. For they kept arguing that, like, oh no, like we're fine. Like, we don't want the money. I mean, that was the funnier part. They were like, we don't want the money. Like, they paid us enough, basically.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? It really is. The thing is, my wife's an accountant, and so from her perspective, when you look at these things, particularly when it comes to tax, and people go, "Oh, we didn't pay enough tax." No, we did. He had a good tax accountant that worked out exactly how to manage his money, so he didn't pay. So he paid the tax he needed to pay and nothing more.
Yeah.
This is not illegal.
The minimum amount you were required to pay.
Yes. And I mean, we get the thing of, I mean, here, a famous Alan Carr, famous comedian, was again lambasted in the media for finding ways of, again, not again, from what my wife said when she looked at the story, she's not doing anything wrong. That you can perfectly well do
legal ways of not paying tax.
There's legal ways of making sure the money you earn doesn't pay as much tax as it should, as you would be if you were paying it all in here. You know, I guess it's that seemed the thing of fair play, seemed to be playing the game, contributing. And people feel that if you do stuff like this, you're not. And it's the same in terms, we loop back to Apple here for this example. They can be seen as not playing the game and not playing fair. And the same way we get often quite stories here about Amazon as well. How, again, they're using all of the relevant sort of tax loopholes, which they're entitled to do.
Yeah.
But they're not playing the game in terms of putting back into the country the money they're taking out from their profits.
Yeah. The big difference is that companies like Google, like, I mean, the big companies, they can work differently than we do. It would be quite difficult for you to set up this many and set up and manage and pay for this many subsidiaries to basically shift the money around until you don't have to pay taxes. Barely, basically. I mean, you don't even have the IP rights to do that, because that's the whole part of the whole thing, that they're basically... They're putting the IP rights in a place like the Bahamas, and then they're renting them out to the EU company, and then shifting it around five times until they don't have to pay anything for it.
Right. I don't think most people understand. Large corporations have offices all over the world for no other purpose than for taxes.
Yeah, I mean, there were literally
there are a billion companies in Budapest.
Yeah,
but it's basically an office with a couple of computers just so they can.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of the companies that I think Apple had and probably others had like one or two employees in total, making billions and trillions of money, probably not billions, but had like two employees.
Yeah, and because they funnel all the EU revenue through a shell company in a friendly country like Hungary. For tax reasons.
Yeah, so for example,
I think the original idea for Ireland and Dublin was it would generate jobs in Dublin, financial jobs in Dublin, people setting up all these offices, and to some extent it did. There were some requirements. I don't remember all the details, but in Ireland you couldn't just really have a shell company. You actually had to have some employees doing work there.
I mean, but the minimum requirement is you have like one or two. Like, you don't need that.
No, in Ireland it was different. It wasn't like Budapest and some of these newer ones where you had to have.
But I mean, Tom and Jeff probably don't know that, but Ian does. Like, why did Apple, it used to be many, many years ago, like 10 years ago or something, that all the Apple services, all the Amazon services, like everything, was basically would go through a company in, what was that? Not Liechtenstein. Some Western Luxembourg European small country. Luxembourg, yes, right, thank
Luxembourg.
You.
It was Luxembourg, wasn't it?
You would get iTunes purchases and all of them were in Luxembourg. Why?
Yeah, HP stuff would come through Luxembourg as well. Yeah. And Dell stuff
the reason was,
Luxembourg.
We have something called VAT here, tax.
Right.
Like when you buy as a consumer something, you pay VAT. And it used to be that way in the EU, changed that. It used to be the VAT would be, because it was a consumer or B2C purchase, would be you had to pay, or the company had to pay from where they were located, so where the sale happened, not where the consumer was located, which in a goods like traditional business maybe made sense. But in an internet age, didn't. Because, I mean, you might be from Poland and you're buying something in Luxembourg. So you changed that and said, okay, basically, and it was a bit of a headache for a lot of smaller companies, especially, because they had to collect the VAT for the country that the consumer was in, which is different. Like, it's kind of like the states and counties and cities, even in the US sometimes, where like every city has their own tax, basically.
Yeah, in the U.S., the same thing happened. In the early days of Amazon and online retailers, basically, you paid no tax initially until they figured it out, but we've settled in the same place. You got to pay the taxes appropriate for where the buyer is.
Yeah, I think in the U.S., it's still more complicated, because if they don't have an office in that state, then they still don't have to pay it.
Yeah, it's if you have a retail presence in the state.
Right.
Yeah, so a Best Buy probably can't do it, but I think a B&H Photo, for example, which I think was in New York, if I remember correctly, or is in New York, could do that. Like, so as I said, like the reason, and as I said, we as consumers couldn't do that. Like, for you, it would be really difficult to set up a company in another country or state just so that you're not paying taxes. But big companies, I mean, for them, it's like,
well, you can do it in the EU because you can do it in among the countries in the EU because it's a EU, right? It's more like states than separate companies economically, right?
Yeah, no, but it's still different country companies and countries. Like the company in Austria is different than the company, the same, like owned by the same company. But like, I know for my company, like we have companies in Austria, or subsidiaries basically. And the big group, the big company, kind of the Apple equivalent, is in Germany.
Right. But from a consumer point of view, you're not paying.
No, I'm paying taxes for Austria now, but it's right. It used to be different, and
right.
If what corporations can still do on the corporate income tax or corporate taxes, which you as a consumer can't do.
No, well, but you know the other story about Google finally getting whacked for the shopping stuff,
mm-hmm.
to me is pretty important,
because
that's really a danger of monopoly when your search engine is biasing search results, shopping search results, to places that the searcher benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like hidden affiliate fees, you know? If I go to you know, it's a thing that we struggle with all the time with search engines because they need to make money, but every way they have to make money creates biases in the search.
Yeah. This is a trend in the EU right now, where they're basically looking at big companies and saying, like, all the services that you offer for free, or you basically like prioritize or push more, like what we had with the search results, where they basically showed Google shopping results topmost and with images and whatever, basically pushing people to use, instead of going to Amazon, for example, they would go to Google Shopping because that was the topmost result, and we know that works.
Right.
It's kind of, you is looking at it and saying, I mean, in general, it's okay to have different services and advertise them, but there is a line where you are so big that creates an unfair advantage for your other services and for yourself. Because you're basically, I mean, Google has, I don't know, in search, probably still a 90-something%. 95 or whatever percent market share. So at that point, whatever you suggest is what people will do.
And that's the thing, it's always karma dominator. But someone search for review of camera, a vlog camera, like we were talking about earlier, you get that ribbon at the top of your search results of all these different items. You'll click through. So any price comparison site has no hope of drawing you in to have a look at other comparisons, because it's just there. I don't, and for the majority, oh yeah, click, done. There's a few prices there. I can kind of go, yeah, that's about my price range. Clicking, you done. So for a lot of people, that's very attractive. But
it's a good thing for a little while.
It's driving all Calco and all those other companies that used to do price comparison completely out of the market.
Yeah, and as long as you're not the monopoly in the market, that's fine. If there's, let's say, 10 different search engines in the market that people are using, let's say, equally, that's not a problem, because there's 9 other services that are doing it differently and might, like, you're just losing one basically. But if it's the only one, then you have a problem, because then what's easier and what's good for Google is not necessarily what is good for the market as a whole.
Yeah, what that's, you do as a monopoly. Right. There's a big difference in the same action between two different companies taking those actions. But the other thing that's part of this is Google is not only dominant in search.
Yes.
They're dominant in ad servings and a bunch of other places. You know, it's sort of
smartphones.
Yeah, but it's sort of like buying a house where the agent is representing the seller and the buyer. You know, that's a very dangerous thing. And that's the position that
quite
Google
common.
We're seeing
that in from the EU, especially in many areas. Like, we're seeing it, they're looking at Microsoft, they're looking at Google, and Microsoft for, I mean, I think obvious reasons with Windows and so on, like Windows and especially Office and Teams and all of that. Which, as I said, in a small scale, totally fine. Like this whole integration of having all the Microsoft apps working together and like Windows working really well with Office and all of that, like great. But there's a line and maybe they crossed it. Same with Google and Google services and Android and Chrome and all of that.
Yep.
Same with Apple, same with Facebook to some extent, because social media is still, I think they're still the biggest social media company in the world. So that is social media and ads in social media is basically if you're not with Facebook, you have a problem. Because they also have WhatsApp and they also have Instagram. So I should say Meta, not Facebook. So EU is right. EU especially is looking very closely. I mean, also for political reasons, we shouldn't forget that.
Yeah.
You know, it's election time. Also in the EU. So you know.
Hey, we're already a full half hour into the show. So I'm gonna move us to another one. So we can hit everyone's stories. And Tom, by chance you just dropped a link in. So tell us about your story.
By chance.
This one might be quick. It's related to Patrice's story from last week about side channel attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And since Patrice, you brought that up last week, I guess my radar was up and I saw this come across my news feed. It's about a company or a group in Israel who demonstrated an attack. It just demonstrated an attack of how to get information off an air-gapped computer. We were kind of talking about that last week. And I can't say I understand all the details about what they're doing, but it sounds like essentially they installed malware on a standalone computer. So you have to have physical access. But what the malware did was basically create, it's a software-defined radio, which used reading and writing a RAM to create electromagnetic signals under a certain protocol so that they could do things potentially like say a keystroke logger. So if you had this malware on this air gap computer and it was tracking the keyboard taps, it would had a program that would write data to a RAM in a pattern that could be read by a radio that could decode that signal and understand what keystrokes were being made.
Wow.
So the difference in electromagnetic signals of the computer writing to the RAM could be used to encode information coming off that computer.
And then turn it back into binary. And then you've got, so not even an air gap computer is safe. An air gap, for those that don't know, is a computer that's isolated from any network. So it shouldn't be accessible from the outside.
You know, again,
effectively, we've got no net. We should have no network out of a computer in a box with no wires plugged in it. You know,
The only network it's on is a sneaker net.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, this is just a demonstration and you need physical access and all that. But you can imagine, you know, having watched all the spy movies or, you know, just even the thing in, you remember the nuclear thing in Iran where somebody did, you know, did get to air gap computers and loaded malware through USB.
Mm-hmm. Well, the group of researchers that came up with this and came up with the demonstration, they also, excuse me, previously had developed, I'm reading this from the article, previously developed methods to leak data using network card LEDs, USB drive RF signals, SATA cables, and power supplies.
It's crazy.
So at this point, I'm feeling like the air-gapped computers need to be completely self-contained in a Faraday cage. So once you go into the room that they're in and close the door, there's no radio signals going in or out.
Yep. Yeah. Or no electromagnetic radiation at all. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what as far as I know, at least, big like spy agencies do, like, or anything sensitive, like military, whatever.
Yeah, what is the CIA?
It's literally air gapped. No signal in or out.
What does the government call those rooms where people read?
SCIF?
SCIF, right? SCIFs are, I'm sure.
Secure compartmentalized information facility.
Right.
Oh, that's a possible.
So if you want a secure computer, you need to use it in a Faraday cage, and when you walk away from it, put it in a safe so nobody can load malware on it.
I mean, it goes even further. You need to trace that thing from production, like, because someone might have put something in early. I mean,
on the board. A little transmitter on the board.
I mean, and this goes back to like Cold War era, even probably even before, like where like Moscow, the Russians put spy gear in typewriters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite spy stories. That's just incredible what they did.
Yeah. And I mean, they went to the manufacturer. Like, they really put it in before everything. And everybody checked it and nobody could find it.
Anyway, I like this story just because Patrice brought it up last week. And then the name of the device is Rambo. Radiation air gap memory bus for offense. Rambo.
That makes sense. Rambo. Like, he's
it's gonna... Rambo.
Of course, it's Rambo.
But I mean, it's really interesting. It just shows you that, like, even if you have an air gap computer and like it's not connected to anything, and you think you're secure, you're still not.
Yes.
Like, again, spy novel, like, where they, or spy stories where they like basically compromise the concrete in the Russian embassy, the U.S. embassy in Moscow. Like, right. Stuff like that. So it doesn't matter what gear you bring in, if you literally your building is compromised, and the people working there and everything, not a chance.
I've heard stories about Cold War buildings where there's known agents working them, and there was an agent for one government who couldn't find something in his office. So he spoke to the air, "Hey, where is this?" And a little while later, he got a message from an agent from the other side telling him what drawer it was in.
Oh my God.
Now, I have no idea if that's a true story. I'm assuming it's not.
I bet that happened.
I love the sentiment.
I bet that happened because they probably knew that everything was compromised. So, like, what's the point?
Yeah. Still, I love the story. So, Patrice, you dropped a story in. Is that the one you want, or do you want a different one?
Oh, that's a good
story. I was kind of hoping Tom would have brought that one because I actually wanted to talk
about it.
Taylor Swift.
I was thinking about it.
No, but since it's a Austrian company, I'll bite. There was a pretty big announcement this week from an Austrian company that you might have heard of named Infineon. Big chip manufacturer or designer. I think they're not doing so much manufacturing these days. That they have kind of had a breakthrough in, Tom can probably explain that better than me, like the 300 millimeter power gallium nitride wafer technology. So it's the first one. From what I've understood, and Tom said you can probably explain that better than me, the cool thing here is they can basically produce more chips per wafer.
Right.
Higher yield, hopefully, as well.
Less money, that's the big thing. It's less money is the big thing. So you get 25% more, 40% more, depending, I guess. So basically, the manufacturing for semiconductors is done wafer by wafer. So if you and it's kind of all done at once. So if you have a bigger wafer, you can process more die, more chips in parallel, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, we know gallium nitride, especially, is also vastly more efficient overall.
So GaN, GaN is really great for power. We've all gotten power supplies from Anker, chargers from Anker, and they're about half the size as the silicon ones. But gallium nitride is kind of difficult to process. It's a little bit, behaves a little bit less well than silicon, so it's a little bit harder to process. That's why it took a while for it to come out. And when you go from a smaller wafer to a bigger one, the lack of controllability of the process and the chemicals is a problem. So it's been a big challenge to get gallium nitride processing to yield well at 300, and it looks like Infineon finally figured it out. So that means each individual trip will be cheaper. That's the big benefit.
And exactly.
Patrice, I think Infineon is actually a German company. They were spun out of Siemens. They
think were the so, semi- yeah. But then nowadays, especially that lab where they, like the power fab is actually in Austria. That was the point. The announcement came out of Austria. So,
right, the stuff in Munich is gotten smaller and smaller every year. But I'm
That even like an Eastern German? I seem to remember that like in the 90s when like the whole rush into Eastern Germany happened. I think it was one of the things where they were like, oh, we're gonna. Like the Silicon Valley of Europe will be in Eastern Germany. Never happened. Dresden, yeah, Saxony, right, exactly. Never happened.
But I'm old
you're right.
Enough
it's a German
remember,
company.
I'm old enough to remember when the customer was Siemens, the semiconductor division of Siemens.
Mm-hmm.
And the buildings in Munich were old industrial buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. This is a great achievement by Infineon. So, you know, at the end of the day, what it means for consumers is hopefully cheaper charging devices.
Yeah, not just that. I mean, this could go into a lot of places. I mean, for me, the interesting thing is also you wouldn't think something like this to come out of Europe, to be honest. We're not known for big growth in this area.
There are some companies, though, on the power semiconductor side. You know, the non-sexy stuff, the non-advanced logic stuff, there's still a lot of good work in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that, but I mean, you would expect it that like this to either come out of the US or, I mean, these days, like Asia, especially Taiwan, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been plenty of news from this area, but yeah, it's like the Austrians are doing it.
Yeah.
And I know someone who works in that area, so...
Yeah, don't underestimate the power of Europe in certain semiconductor segments. They do pretty well. And Infineon, especially in mixed signal power stuff, does really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, somewhere in their press release, they even said like they now can show mastery in basically all three areas. Like they can do silicon carbide, I think, and gallium nitride.
Right.
So they're pretty good. Said, but I really thought you would bring that because this is kind of built for
I came this
story.
Close. I didn't want to. I'm trying not to become the semiconductor guy. I want to broaden my
But it's so much
here.
Fun when you do that because you have so much knowledge. But and good. I mean, that gives me a chance to bring an Austrian story. So why not?
Right. So this really wasn't a semiconductor story. This is an Austria story.
That's right.
Yeah. A friend of mine, as I said, she works for Infineon. It's our, I think, I'm not sure if she works in this area, to be honest, but I will ask her. So, I mean, she works in Villa, so who knows? But yeah, the whole reason, like, she will be happy about this.
That's awesome.
Finally, something good coming out of Europe Europe and of Austria. So.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
much like TSO hosts, right?
Yes.
because
something
TSO
good coming out of Europe
is being super generous and giving us the bandwidth we need to live stream shows every week. They're giving us the hosting space, so there's a place for the website to live, and they're giving us the server space we need so that we can have a place for all the show recordings to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you like. And how is it that they're able to do this? Well, it's because they provide web hosting and they help you. They make it easy to buy domain names and they take what they do so well, and they're saying, hey, here you go, British Tech Network. We're giving back to the community by helping you do what you do. And we really appreciate that TSO Host is being so generous and helping us to do this because we need those resources. And it's really hard to bring all of that together. And they're just saying, here you go. We'll just give it all to you. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. Now, all of you, please go out on your favorite social media and thank TSO Host for being here. Because the support they give us, it matters. It's important. And it only takes a minute to go on into social media and say thank you, TSO Host, for supporting the British Tech Network. And there you go. I even just wrote the post for you. So please go give them some online love. If you need to buy domain names, well, why not take advantage of the service that they offer? Go find your domain name, add it to your cart, and then add in the discount code BTN20 so you get 20% off your order. So thank you, Tio Sojos, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of support, Patrice, you're just so good at telling people about the live chat. Do you mind doing that?
I don't mind at all. It's super easy to do, and it's a lot of fun to talk about this. So we have a really cool live streaming page. So think of it like a YouTube live stream or Twitch or any of them. Like, they kind of all look the same these days. They all kind of stole from each other. We're using a tool called Owncast, which is a Fediverse tool. So we run it on our servers, and it connects to the Fediverse, so Mastodon and Threads and so on, Pixel Fed, like all of them. And it's like you can watch us record like this live, which we do every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, for this very show. And if you're into the Apple side of things, and tomorrow we're doing the resolution of the keynote poker, the results, as disastrous as they were, as usual, for us, they're always wrong. I can spoil that much. I don't think it's a big spoiler because it's been the trend that we follow. 4 p.m. UK time tomorrow and every Friday, we record the Mac Show on British Tech Network. And all you do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. And you can watch us. And on the right-hand side, there's a little chat. Or if you're on your phone, it's underneath the video, actually. And that's it. Like, you can talk to us. Super easy. No install, no app download, nothing required. Literally point your browser to that website. And you're in. And that's it. But if you are listening to this in a podcast form, there is a very easy transcript for this. So you see what we, it's not a transcript, actually, it's just a chat. Well, it's actually a chat transcript, probably. I was thinking transcript is more like a video transcript. I don't know. There's basically everything we said in the chat is on our website. Let's put it
chat this way. History.
Chat history, yeah, okay.
All right, something that works.
I'll take that. So everything we've posted in the chat, everything we've said in the chat, all the links, all the cool things that are coming up, like literally everything, is also on our website. And Tom is always very nice to put the direct link in the show notes of each episode. But just in case you're not finding it, you forgot about it, whatever, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then there's a little calendar. You pick a date, or you just want to look at the past, maybe. Pick a date, any date. And whatever date you pick, you will see if there is a transcript for that day, which traditionally Thursday and Friday is probably the best time for that because we're usually not in the chat. Any other day, actually, no, we're not. And then you can see what we talked about that day. So if you want to do it for today, September 12th, 2024, that's the date for today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
All right. So now it's time to do cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
I hope you do, because I still don't know what.
I'm finding mine, but I just need now to get the right button. Ah, there we go.
Well, that would be Tom.
All right. My cool thing is one of those things where you say, how did I not know about this? And apparently everybody else did except for me. And it's a Windows Microsoft thing called Quick Assist. It's basically remote access software. So like probably all of you and the people listening, we tend to be the IT person for your family. And so I have family that I don't live close by, and they always have problems with their computer. And I've been having them do like FaceTime, you know, show me your computer screen. Now type this. Because I thought all the remote access stuff, you know, my knowledge was like 15 years ago, was stuff you had to pay and it was kind of wonky and you had to open up ports and blah, blah, blah. But this one works pretty easily, and it works on both Windows, and there's a Mac OS version too. So you can go, you know, from Windows to Mac and vice versa.
The Mac basically version? That one's only for if you're having interaction with actual Microsoft support.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have a Mac, so I couldn't try it. Good point. Thank you for pointing that out. But anyway, as you guys know, if you can get remote access to a computer, it makes debugging so much easier than being on the phone asking a normie, what's wrong? And they give you a whole bunch of information. You know, they talk for 5 minutes, and 10 seconds of that 5 minute talk was actually useful information.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know, right? They don't have no idea what's going on their computer. So this has been a lifesaver for me, for a couple of members of my family that don't live close by and are pretty good with computers, but they run into weird problems that it's so much easier to solve with.
TeamViewer is another good one. TeamViewer, if you've got to go across different machines, because you just download one, you tell them, just download this one thing and tell me the code that pops up, and then you're off. I use that sometimes with my mother-in-law, or now jump desktop, because I've gone out through setup. That's great.
Yeah, it's a similar thing here to get a little code. So the security part is easy. Like I said, my knowledge, what I thought about remote access was from 15 or 20 years ago, where it was really hard to get through the networks, you know?
Yes, it's different now, thanks to tools like this.
Yeah, right. Remote access was mostly hacking. Because, you know,
basically,
in certain areas that used, as far as I know, at least in the NSA, that was kind of what it was called, remote access. Like, how do you get access to something another building?
Right. So the tools from 25 years ago were basically glorified hacking tools, right?
Actually, 25 years ago, it's not that long. You would think that's 2000, like 1999. So not that long ago. Yes, I know. That sounds scary, but that's 1999, 25 years ago.
I feel
wow.
Like...
Yeah.
So it's probably more like 30, 45 at this point.
Could have been.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So, Ian, tell us about your cool thing.
My cool thing is a recent purchase of, I'm going to wave at the camera now, a very nice pair of noise-canceling headphones.
Nice.
I was talking to one of my work colleagues. We were traveling together, going off to Bucharest, one of the trips I've done just recently. And I was complaining about sort of the whole racket and noise on the aeroplane. I said, you have some noise-canceling headphones. I've got a pair of these. You know, he's got a fancier set of these. And I am denied. We walked around the duty-free shop of electronics. And sure enough, they had some of these. And now I got them for £10 cheaper than the link there, which are about £130, £120. But I literally...
£129, so...
Yeah, yep. I whacked them on... in the shop, they had them charged up, so I put them on my head, turned them on, and literally the room went quiet. And I go, all right, you've sold me these. And I've now had three plane journeys in blissful quiet, or at least my own noises of my own choices. The Romanian flights I tend to be a lot of families going back and forth. So, and they run at really horrible hours sometimes. So you get the thing, you've got crying babies in the back and all the other stuff. So these are very nice to clunk on your ears, and you've got a nice quiet flight going home. And brilliant. I've been using them as well walking now. They've got different modes. There's an app to set the whole headset up if you want to go fancier and things. And quite often now, you do look a bit like a goober, it has to be said. But I don't really care. The young kids are doing it. I walk around with my headphones on. I go for my lunchtime walk and I listen to my audible books. So, yeah. But, yeah, winner. Very impressed.
I am all about noise-canceling headphones on flights, even if I'm not actually listening to anything.
I did that on the journey home.
Right.
I learned years ago that the whole thing with the sound of the engines of the airplane just droning all the time, it causes fatigue, because your ear muscles
are working
they get fatigued, and then you get tired, so you are more tired getting off the plane than you would be if you use noise canceling headphones. And
wow, that's cool. I never thought about that. That's cool.
Yeah. So I get on a plane, even if I'm just going to like read a book and I want to read in silence, headphones go on, noise canceling is on, and I leave it on for the flight. And And it changed flying for me.
Yes, I have to admit, the last flight I did, the one to Prague, was shorter than I expected. So the film I'd lined up was going to be too, it was going to be too long. I thought, ah, hell, I'll listen, I'll read my book. But I left the headphones on because there was muffling all of the noise and the general hubbub in the plane and the engine noise as well. I mean, that and that was fantastic. I was nicely, no, it was nicely muted down to a level. And these have got clever stuff on them where if someone comes and talks to you, they'll cut, it cuts back out so you can hear them. And also you can cover your ear. If you cover one of the ears, it'll release it again so you can hear. It's fantastic. It does just the job it needs to. Brilliant. I'm very impressed by how far the tech has come since the last time I played around with these things.
Nice. Nice. All right, so Patrice, have you worked out your tech problems and you're good to go? If not, I'll
I
do
don't
my
know,
cool
but
thing and then you'll do yours.
I'll do it. It's fine.
Okay.
It's okay. Well, it doesn't work. Yeah, my cool thing is a new audiobook in the Expeditionary Force series that was just released. So released 2 or 3 days ago. I haven't bought it yet because I'm still going through. I think I'm in book 12 right now out of 17. This is the 17th, plus actually two extras that he's done. So Craig Ellenson is the author. So I think I've talked about this enough that people remember the asshole AI story, the beer can. So this is a new book titled Task Force Hammer. Ominous description: there's a big bad opponent that they need help with because they can't do it at all. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, it's like this book series has been so good that I'm like, I will buy that in probably a week or so. 2 week or two, I should be done with the other five books. So I'm going faster. I mean, they're like 15, 20 hours, but you can't stop. That's the problem with these books. They're so good, the audiobooks especially, they're so good that you can't stop. I can highly recommend Homefront. That's one of the specials. It's kind of a radio play, but with like Kate Mulgrew, with crap, what's the name of the doctor?
Robert
Robert
Picardo.
Picardo, Zachary Quinto, like really cool Star Trek actors that are doing the audio play. So that's a book 3.5, I think. It's an extra, like, it's not that long, but it's an extra story basically, but really good. So yeah, I mean, his books are awesome. So I'm buying this. Oh,
Nice.
if
Easy
you're
peasy.
on, you'll use it. Top tip now, if you're an Audible customer, just right now, at least in the UK and probably everywhere else, two titles for one credit.
Yeah, but they usually don't include the new titles, but they might, some
But
of the
there's
older
other
books might be included. Have a look.
there was a couple of good bits because I got the Neuromancer, which I haven't got in audiobook form, and a Tom Clancy book that I quite enjoyed, and it was quite a long, and it was, again, I'm getting my money's worth in terms of hours. It's the one where he becomes president, so it, but John, yeah, Jack Ryan becomes president. It's like 50 hours. I remember it being a good read, and so I thought, well, that's another one. If I
50
need something
hours.
to, well, I'm still been panting my way through Sherlock Holmes, read by Stephen Fry. I
Which
tend to
was
do it
also
book
great.
at, I do it a book at a time, and then there's another. Then I come back and I've got another 5 hours to listen to or whatever, and I jump between them. So that's always fun. So yeah, but I had about 6 months when I didn't really listen to much, and I've come back to it again now. I've got a load of credits to use as well, so these headphones
I don't,
have
because
brought it back to
I'm
my
usually
teeth.
not. So this is the only downside of this. This is Audible exclusive, unfortunately, because that's what Amazon does to people. So I hate that, but I'm gonna buy it on Audible. But I'm literally going through, as I said, all 60 books right now. In like preparation for number 17 that just dropped. So
I've got
nice.
first book on my I've got the first book on my Kindle waiting to be
I
read
think
yet. From
so.
recommendation from you, that
Yes, I
certainly
think
remain in the
so.
queue. It's in the queue on my Kindle to read.
First book. Oh, so long ago. So many asshole things that have happened since.
All right. So I guess that means it's my turn now.
Yes.
And once again, I'm bringing something that you're not expecting me to bring.
Stirring up
Because
a storm.
Lego?
It's raining
Lego?
ones and zeros.
A video game.
Huh, yeah, I didn't expect that
See?
from you.
You did not see that one coming. All
Not
right.
remotely.
So, the game that I'm bringing today is called Caravan Sandwich. with which spelled WITCH. And it's an open world game where you do have a mystery that you need to solve. And so there's like a main quest for you to accomplish, but then there's all these little side adventures you can take. But since it's an open world game, and you don't have to worry about time limits or number of lives, it's a game you can just go play. And what I have discovered for myself is that this is the kind of game that I really enjoy. And if you look at things like Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga, where sure there's goals that you have to accomplish, and when you accomplish goals, it opens up more of the worlds. It's basically an open world adventure, and that's what this is too. And I'd heard about this game a while ago, and so I've been patiently waiting its release, which is today. So September 12th, the game drops, and it's available on Steam and Switch and PS5. And excuse me, the reviews that I have read, people really like the game, and they love that they can just play it at their pace or just go explore.
So. When you posted the link first, I thought it was Caravans and Witch. I thought, okay, that sounds interesting.
That would be interesting too. Yeah, Caravans and a Witch. Yeah. So there you go, Caravan Sandwich. It's available right now, and I think it's on sale right now.
10% off.
Yeah, but if you have it on Switch, you actually have, or if you're going to get it on Switch, you have longer for that discount, because the discount runs through September 19th. But I think if you buy it through the Nintendo store, the sale runs through the end of the month.
But why wait? Buy it now.
Great. So yeah, it's like $22 for the game. So not bad. All right, there you go. Caravan Sandwich.
Pretty cool.
And now it's time to wrap up. So thank you to the four of you for just being so awesome. And as usual, making my Thursday pre-lunch day just so much fun. I love all of you for that. So thank you. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. You'll see I've been posting a little bit just of late. But yeah, that's usually the place to find me is LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant. I work for Veeam. That's the easiest place to get hold of me. I am also in our Slack room. Find me there. Occasionally I post stuff there. Not very often. I'm sometimes in there. But mostly LinkedIn's the best place to find me.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Patrice, how about you? Where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week, almost every week, on the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. So I say almost because I'm 1 week a month I'm traveling to Lisbon, so I can't do that. I'm traveling for work. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And I have a really cool podcast. I like to show the mug because that's the coolest thing I have, called Retro Rewatch, where we, like Jeff and I, watch retro shows, retro TV shows, and then we talk about it. So, and usually, I mean, the thing is kind of Jeff has not seen it and I have seen it a million times. At least that's true for Stargate SG-1 that we're watching right now. We published, I think, was it last week, episode 8. Mm-hmm. Of SG-1, mm-hmm. The Nox. Really cool episode, really important. And I spoiled a little bit on Mastodon when I said he will not have to wait for very long to see more of the Nox. So that's all I'm saying. Jeff knows because we've already recorded a couple more episodes, so he knows that already. Mm-hmm. But it's a really cool show, Retro Rewatch. We have really cool episodes coming up.
We do. It's a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on the independent social media network Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social, and you can find my wife and I later today at Golden Gate Park for the flower piano, where they set up pianos in the park. And tonight is sort of the pre-opening night. So
Scotty, beam me up, please.
Yeah, come on over.
I've been to some really cool events in that park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is in the botanical gardens. They set up pianos all over.
It's been there. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yep. I saw the most recent thing I saw, which it might have been the botanic gardens there. It was artists doing a live, like large scale event where it was, we're creating with all these colored smokes, this art all around us, and it had music and stuff. So we're all there, we see it, it happens, and then it's over. And the art is gone too, because it all blew away.
Oh, wow.
It was really like
fun. That's kind of the point, right?
Yep. Yeah. And that was totally the point. Yep.
Awesome. Well, we have colored smoke for other reasons. You know, marijuana is legal here in California. So.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a lot like being in Colorado now, except you have a lot more oxygen.
Yeah, right. You're not getting.
And if it's
oxygen.
White smoke, there's a new pope, right? That's how it works.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, Jeff, did the art have any white smoke, and then a pope popped up?
Then we had a new mountain pope.
Pope Jeff.
Pope Jeff. Yep. There we go. Pope Jeff.
We're gonna have some changes to doctrine. Just saying. All right. For me, I'm Jay Gamut on social media and basically all of them. And I'm active on Mastodon and Instagram right now. And then for shows, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS on Thursdays, here on the British Tech Network on The Big Show on Thursdays and The Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And then Patrice already mentioned Retro Rewatch that we do together. And I am definitely having so much fun with that. And Patrice, I'm so glad you said, hey, why don't we do this show?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So with that, it is time to wrap up. I know I said thank you to the three of you already, but I'm doing it again. Thank you. Because the three of you, you really are that wonderfully awesome. And I do appreciate all of you. So thank you for putting up with me week after week. And all of you that watch or listen live, participate in the live chat, thank you for being here as well. All of you absolutely rock, as do all of you that watch or listen to the show recordings later on. I'm so glad all of you are part of the BTN family. And that family is bigger than just us, because there's Ewan. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And DSO host, thank you for being here to support us so that we can bring these shows to everyone every single week. And I think now I've gotten through enough stuff that I can say, hey, everyone, be sure and join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. And then join us again next week on Thursday for the Big Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.